a little bit nervous to bring to speak on this subject. Not that the subject is controversial at all. It is the gospel. It's just that I've never preached on these scriptures before. And I was told back 100 years ago when I was a young preacher, to preach something at home before you take it on the road. Well, I guess I'm at home here today, so I've been coming here all my life and love you all dearly. I've always had a fond love for Bethel Church, so I am going to start this at home. This may be it. You maybe wish that I didn't, but we can say that we felt the Spirit of the Lord in our song service. We can say that we've been to church today. But I began in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 11th verse. And usually when preachers are going to try to speak out of Matthew 11, they start off with the first part, and that is when John the Baptist had sent two of his disciples to inquire to the Lord, "Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another?" We know that John the Baptist was in prison, and there's been a lot of good preaching about what was going on with that question. What did he mean by that question? Why did he ask the question? And then on the wonderful and glorious answer that the Lord gave to that question, when he gave the evidence that he is the true Messiah and the Savior of the world. Now, usually don't, at least I haven't, and I've never tried, and I don't remember hearing much, if any, on the scriptures that are after that. Because the Lord is not finished speaking when he says that line that we love and I love, that the poor have the gospel preached to them. When he gave that answer, the two disciples of John left to go give him the answer from the Lord. And I'm sure that John the Baptist was comforted by that answer. But then Jesus speaks to the multitude or the group that was there. And he begins to speak to them about John the Baptist. And so I began in verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What did you expect when you came out to hear John the Baptist speak, to see him baptize, maybe even to be baptized of John the Baptist yourself? What were you looking for? Could it be a reed shaken in the wind?" In other words, were you looking to see somebody that's weak, unstable, not going to last, flash in the pan, some sort of strange new person that's touched in the head? Is that what you expected? Is that what you were looking for when you came out to see John the Baptist? He asked the question again, verse 8. "But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses." Well, did you come out to see somebody that's very important? Somebody that had some degree of power in the government or royalty, or someone who found the secret to success and now they're wearing very costly apparel? Were you coming maybe to get in on this movement to help you in your business interests. Did you come to see that? Then he asked the question again. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Did you come out to hear the word of God? Did you come out to be drawn closer to the Lord? Did you come to hear the word of God explained? Did you come to hear a prophet? And then the Lord says, yea. In other words, yes, that's what he was. He is a prophet. And then he says this, but he's also more than a prophet. He's a prophet of prophecy. He's the only prophet that was prophesied of. Read about him in Isaiah and in the book of Malachi, prophecies of the coming of John the Baptist. So he was a prophet that the prophets prophesied would come. He's more than a prophet. And then he says this, for this is he of whom it is written. This is in the book of Malachi. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. This is the prophecy. You've seen the fulfillment of prophecy. If you came to see John, you came to see him as a prophet, you not only saw a prophet, you saw somebody that was prophesied of. Even the very prophecy that he was to give was recorded in the word of the Lord. Then he makes this comment on John. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That is a very interesting statement. And it almost seems, if you read it from a point of view, that the Lord is contradicting himself. Because he says this, and this is the words of our Lord, there has never been, let me read it the way he said it, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, I used to take that scripture there, that the Lord is saying, of all the prophets, the greatest prophet is John the Baptist. Now, that would fit. And there is some merit in looking at it that way, because he just mentioned he being a prophet, and then he goes into that statement. But he didn't say among the prophets that were born of a woman, there's been no greater prophet. He said among them, I think he's saying of all humanity, of all the people that have come into this world, there has never been one greater than John the Baptist. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was the greatest person to ever live. That's an interesting statement. That's very interesting. You think about all the folks the Bible mentions. And every one of them had some flaw. They did some bad thing that's recorded. The only time that we can see John slipping is in this occasion when he sent men to inquire whether Jesus was the Messiah. Notice he's not saying, is there really coming a Messiah? He's saying, I just need to know, are you that Messiah? Are you that man? And the Lord said, yes. Then he says, what did you come to see about John? Was he this? Was he this? Was he this? He was this. He was this, but he's also this. There's never been anyone born of a woman that is greater in courage, moral fortitude, zeal, obedience, spirit, than John the Baptist. And then he says this, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, there's more there that I can't get. There's so much there I can't see. Let me tell you what I can see, which isn't much. It'll take me about 42 minutes, if that long. Less if the Spirit doesn't bless. We may be eating lunch early today. And I don't mind. Y'all ought to know me. If I don't have any light, I'm sitting down. I don't want to waste your time and waste the Lord's time. Here's what I think. Those blessed people who have been born and blessed to enter into the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, have it better than John the Baptist. They're better off. They see greater things than John the Baptist did. They know things that John the Baptist didn't know. They get to experience a closer walk with God than John the Baptist ever did. Now think about that, because here's a man that leapt in his mother's womb for joy when Mary came into the room. He was born of the Spirit before he was ever born of a woman. Here's a man that hadn't seen this man ever and points him out in a crowd and says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Here's a man that the Messiah came to him and asked him to baptize him. Jonah said, I'm not worthy to undo his shoestrings, and he comes to me. I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Suffer it to be so. It becometh us to fulfill our righteousness. We've got something we've got to do, and we've got to do it. And then John would say, he must increase, and I must decrease. But then God showed John the Baptist something extraordinary. And I think he saw something nobody has ever seen before and since. When he saw the Lord coming out of the water, he saw the Spirit of God come down from heaven in the form of a dove. He's the only man, the only woman, the only human being that I know of that ever saw the bodily representation of the Holy Ghost. That's pretty amazing. And then he heard the voice of God, the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He must increase, I must decrease. And he never saw him again. He never got to go to church in the New Testament. He never got to hear the gospel preached. He never got to fellowship with the saints in communion. He didn't get to do what we are blessed to do right now. Right now. Right. This, what we're doing right now, is the greatest thing in the world ever. There's nothing better than what we're doing right now. That's what I think the Lord says. If you are the least, you can't sing, you can't preach, you can't cook, you can't clean. I don't know what would you mean by the least. I don't know. Maybe you don't feel like you're significant, you matter. Maybe you're like a little kid or very old. Or you've done too many things in your life. How could you be blessed to be a part of the church? I don't know what the least is. I wouldn't presume. I'm just thinking. He said, that person that maybe other people would say, they really don't matter. Or maybe they themselves think, I really don't matter. Jesus said, they have it better than John the Baptist. How wonderful that we are blessed to live in the church age. How blessed are we to be able to come to church and worship the Lord. And I've been preaching this to me. Now, I studied this yesterday. So this sermon started for me about 10:30 yesterday morning. And I'm not going to preach that long, okay? I told you 41 minutes. But I've been preaching this to me because here's the thing with me. I used to think that I was an optimist. I used to think that. I've said that. I even said that in sermons. I'm an optimist. And then I married Sister Leslie, and she told me what I really was. And I'm going to say it. She said, whoever told you was an optimist, David Montgomery? You're not. I said, you're about to say I'm a pessimist? Because no, you're a skeptic. I don't know if that's worse or better. I don't know. I am a skeptic. There sometimes I think everybody's out to get me. Somebody looked at me funny. They're out to get me. Somebody on the job, they want my job. They want to damage my reputation. They didn't ask me to sing, lead songs. What have I done? Things like that go through your carnal mind. I go to a meeting. They didn't ask me to preach. Well, what did I do? Why am I not doing? Somebody's out to get me. I'm being honest. Can you believe I really feel that way. I didn't think I did, and now I do. And I'm trying to get over it because it's ridiculous. Shouldn't feel that way, especially in church. I mean, I'd be driving, and there's like three cars ahead of me, and like, they're about to do something right now. They're going to do something. It's going to ruin my whole day right now. Skeptic. And then the 1 in 3 billion gazillion times they do something, I say, aha, I'm always right. I told you so. I told you so. All right, it took me 55 years to get to that understanding. No, wait, 59. She said it last year. It took her 4 years to get the courage to tell me that. Isn't that something? What a woman. I had a kind of a crisis about that. Because I thought, I'm the friendliest guy you'll ever meet. No, you're not. I'm an eternal optimist. No, you're not. I think everything's going to work out okay. No, you don't. You don't even think the next 5 minutes is going to work out okay. Something's going to happen to ruin your next 5 minutes. That's me. So now, Now that you know that about me, now you know what you're getting into. And then I apply this. Here's why this message is important to me. I apply this then to the church. Not that the church is out to get me, but here's what I think. And I mean, and this is descending into old fogyism, of which I also have to confess. Because I think back, well, it was so much better back in the day. You know, what years back in the day, right? It's whatever year you wanted to be in. It's not this year. It could be last year. Back in the day, back in the glory days of 2019, right? That's what we, back in, no, usually when I was a kid, not in charge and just sitting there and everything was okay. Didn't have to do anything. Dad had no responsibilities. Oh, what a glorious day that was. Well, sure it was. You didn't have to do anything. So back in the day. Oh, I remember how it was back in the day. Back in the day was so much better. Back in the days of the 60s, I remember those days. That's how old. I'm not that old. I just have a very good memory. So I can remember back to 1961 in meetings. And I remember coming here in the 1960s. Young. A lot of y'all looked a lot younger. You know what I'm saying? But I think, oh man, there were so many more people back then. There were so many more churches. You know, we had all these churches that we could go to and all these meetings, and we go there and overflow with crowd and oh, those were such great times. And you know the danger of that? You discount the blessings you're getting right now. And you're saying that what God did back then is so much better than what he's doing now. And God must not be blessing us like he should. Maybe. No. And I've come to grips with that. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I feel the Spirit. I'm blessed to feel it. I'm blessed to be in meetings where the gospel is preached just like it was back in the day. I hear these sermons and I understand them better now. I enjoy them more now. I get more out of church than I did way back when. God is still with us. Who am I to say that it's all over with? What I've got and what you have, if you believe this and rejoice in it, you are far beyond blessed. More blessed than even John the Baptist, who baptized the Lord. John would have loved to have seen this. I think about it. I think about Moses. That he just let me see the promised land. And God let him go up that mountain. And he looked out and he got to see it all the way to the Mediterranean. Saw all the promised land. But he never got to go in. And then there's John. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but he never got to see it. We, today, we get to stand on a mountaintop and we see a view. And you know what we see? It's not the natural kingdom. It's not the spiritual kingdom. We get to see the eternal kingdom. We get to stand on our spiritual Mount Pisgah. Look up. What do we see? We see glory. We see heaven. We're being reminded of that by the songs we sing, by the sermons we hear, by our fellowship, by the love that we feel, by the unity and the fellowship and the ordinances of the church. All point to it. There's a glorious day coming. And what you're getting is the earnest of that right now. We are more than blessed. And I love, and I think about what Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3. When he said, he was talking about himself. and how he was when he was a Pharisee of the Jews, and all the qualifications that he had, and that how important he was, and had a role in the Jewish economy that would have lent itself to great and brilliant success. And then he sees the Lord. He sees Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life changes. And he gives all that up. He gives everything that he could have had up. And this is what Paul said about it in Philippians 3 in verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he's saying this, I saw things in the law, but when I saw the Lord, sin revived and I died, and the scales, when I heard the gospel, the scales fell from my eyes, and I saw, and he preached, and he saw things that he never knew was there, the glory of the gospel kingdom. And he said, I want that. I don't want any. I don't want importance in the world. I don't want to have my name on lists. I don't care if I'm in the newspaper. I don't care if I don't have a lot of money. I give me Christ. It's like that song we sing, the refrain, give me Jesus or I die. All of that is fading away. This is real. This is enduring. This is substance. All John the Baptist had was the law. That's all he had. Paul would say the law was good, but grace is better. That's why Paul would baptize people who were only baptized to the baptism of John. He said, there's better. There's more. You can't get there through John. You will through Christ. I'm going to show you. It's already happened. That's how good this is. It's not waiting on you to do it. It's already been done. That's what the joy and the glory is. It's given to you by Christ because of what Christ did. And now to think about it. To assemble ourselves together like we are right now. And be able to sit together in this beautiful place. And it doesn't matter if it's bad weather. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad your week was. It doesn't matter if you think everybody's out to get you. Because there's one that already saved you. What are you worried about? Preaching to me. Why would I fear those things in the world? Christ has already defeated the world. We are victors through Christ. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Through Christ. No, I'm going to go out and make a living. Pay the bills. Still be able to go to my favorite Mexican restaurants. Some things are very important. All right? Sister Beverly asked me last night, what Mexican restaurant? It just depends. Depends on what you want. I've been to over 1,000 Mexican restaurants in San Antonio. I got 2,850 more to go to. When I get to that last one, then cometh the end. Okay, come on down, Lord. Blow that last trumpet. I've finished the work set before me, right? I enjoy that. Y'all come. We brought the Kearns to one of our favorite places. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed it so much they've never been back. I know the traffic in San Antonio is bad, but all that Mexican food. All right. I will labor. There are aspects about my job that I like and enjoy doing. But what would it be without what we're doing now? What would it be without the Lord? What would it be without the church? I would give it up if it meant for me to keep the church. Because without the church, it's a terrible life. It's a sad, sad, gloomy, miserable life. I have been told by one of my own children that I am wasting my time in coming to church and trying to preach. And he thinks that what he has given up the church for is better. And I'm his dad, I know. You're miserable, son. You're absolutely miserable, and you don't even know it. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. But what a poor trade you have made. You have exchanged the greatest thing on earth for something bad, sordid, that will harm you, that will bring your life to wreck and ruin, that will bring you into condemnation. It will not bring you happiness. You can't find it without the Lord. And we sang, oh, for a closer walk with God. Amen. This is where you get it. That's why. If you feel like you're the least, you have it better than even John the Baptist. All right, we got 11 more minutes. I always keep my promises when I say it, I'm going to quit. That's why I keep getting invited back to churches. you'd think that it's because I preach so good. No, I don't preach long. That's, and get that guy back, you know. All right. Now, if I had to have that second breakfast taco at the Coates house, we would be done already right now. But I had to have that second one. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm not ready to eat yet. All right. I want to go to Peter just for 10 minutes now. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes this interesting statement in verse 8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Peter is marveling at something, and I've marveled at this myself. At the age of 14, actually, it's at the age of 10, it began with me a great desire to be a part of the church, and knew I needed to be baptized. I knew not to get saved. I just wanted to do it, and I didn't feel, even at the age of 10, that my life was complete unless I was baptized. But I could not bring myself to go up in front of everybody and tell. And so I waited until my brother Paul joined, and then I snuck up behind him. And that's really why I did it, why I waited for 5 years. And I left a burden in the Baptist water, baptistry water, that I never felt again, that you have done a good thing. You have done a reasonable service. And you have dedicated your life to the Lord and to the church. And now it's your job to be a good church member and do all that you can for the church. And I have been very much blessed by the Lord to have the grace to remain amongst the primitive Baptists and to rejoice in the sound of the gospel and to do what little I can. And it's not much. I know it's all of the Lord. But yet, I have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what he looks like. I reject all pictures of Christ. The Shroud of Turin was right next door in San Antonio to my office. I could have gone in there to see it. And I did. I did go in to see it. And then they said that will be $50. And I said, no thanks. So I never saw it. $50 to see a hoax. I think it is. If it is Christ, then hallelujah. But he's never charged me $50 to see him. Grace is free, last I checked. And so I don't need to see a picture of Christ. There's something more concrete that is amazing, that I know he's there. I know he came. I know what he did. I believe. I've never seen it. I wasn't at the cross. I don't know anybody who was there. I read these scriptures that people say, oh, they're fairy tales. It's ridiculous. And I look at them and I hear it. And sometimes I read them. I don't get it. And a brother gets on and preaches and it opens up to me. Or sometimes I'm reading it and the Lord opens it up to me. And I think, there's got to be something here. It's real. Something my soul says, amen. That is right. That is worth everything you've got. It's more precious than gold. Whom having not seen, ye love. More than that, even though we suffer and there's trouble in the world and things are happening, but yet when it's all gone in an instant when the Spirit is there, and I rejoice with joyous people. I can't describe it. I can't tell about it. I can't write about it. I tried. It's never. It's hollow. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. I have that right now. I'll close with a personal story. I think I've told y'all this before, but it bears repeating. Because this that I'm about to tell you happened in this very building. One of the greatest moments of my life. And I believe it was the very first time Bethel hosted the camp meeting. And I was sitting on that second bench. And it was Saturday afternoon. And so that's when you preach all the locals. I get that. They're all the Mississippi, Alabama folks, they've all left. So now we're going to get to hear some Texans. It's great. Good. Going to hear some Texans. So Mike Ivey's preaching. Mike Ivey's preaching Saturday afternoon. He's preaching on Psalm 42. As the heart panteth for water brooks, so thirsteth my soul for thee, O God. That would be a good song. Somebody ought to write a song about that. And then he got to that question that is asked in Psalms 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why? And his sermon was, what things make our souls cast down? And he got to the last. He said, our souls mourn because it longs to be with God. And it longs to be with him in paradise. And our souls mourn because we're in this world and we long to be free. we're yearning, we're waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And he started preaching that. And this whole building, this room, this is going to sound strange. It's really happened. It was just filled with this light, this glowing yellow light. And I just felt so at peace. And then he finished. It was, Paul talked about being transported by the renewing of our minds. I think that happened to me. It wasn't an out-of-body experience. It wasn't, I went to heaven. I just felt the Spirit. And I saw, I believe, he just gave me a little glimpse of his light. And it was peace. It was comfort. It was joy. It was sweet. It was renewing. It was food. It was water. It was rest. I only have felt that way in church. I've gotten close in prayer. I've gotten close in fellowship. But when it's us together like this, there's something special about it. That's why the Lord built this church. And I may be the least, but I have it better than John the Baptist. I don't want to quit. I don't want to give it up. We'll keep going until the Lord says, come on home. And you know what's going to happen then? I don't know. But it's going to be even better than this. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. May God bless you is my prayer. I kept my promise. Maybe went 20 seconds over. I've been chastised by some by quitting at 11:45. Oh, you still have 15 minutes. Said, no, I'm not a member of a union. We don't get paid by the hour. So we get paid a salary no matter how much. You know, I'm not here to waste your time. I just want to give the Lord glory and praise. May the Lord bless you. Now let's sing a hymn. And number 99? Sir, number 99 would be a good one. And if anybody has a desire to take up the cross and follow the Lord of the Baptist, go wait till your little brother comes up here. Come up here right now. I'll meet you. I'll take care of you. You'll be all right.